We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Another hour with you tonight, and then after midnight's the replay hour. Good text message. Doug just gave us a text message at 436-7900. For the Hyperloop, maybe they could modify the loop trolley cars and save a couple of billion. I don't think it works like that. Those trolley cars are very expensive. So if they had to liquidate, I guess they could recoup some of the money they spent, but nowhere near the 50-some million dollars. I did read in one of the articles, it might have been from the Post-Dispatch, that when they were actually putting the tracks in and ripping up the roads and all of that construction, part of it was they were paying for an insurance policy in case they had to tear up and make it road again without the trolley tracks. So let's just say, worst case scenario, they call it over and, you know, it was a nice try, but it just didn't work out. I think you'd be able to revert back and it wouldn't be an additional cost. So that's a bonus. Now, those trolley cars themselves, it took them a while to find the car. Then they had to refurbish these things. So if you could sell a refurbished, finished car, I'm sure you can make a nice little profit off of that, considering if there are other areas that want to purchase one of these things. But then again, what are they going to do? They're going to get one of these trolleys that breaks down all the time. Here you go. I had a lot to get to here. And with Halloween on Thursday and trick-or-treating, there's going to be another fill-in host on Thursday night. Last night, I did Overnight America, and then I waited 3 hours, which is I had a little bit of snacks, and then I prepared, and I filled in on our sister station down the hall, 97.1, and I did their morning show, which was an awful lot of fun. But because I did the morning show, it means I get to pick another day to have off. I decided to come in tonight because I wanted to, and I thought it'd be fun to go out trick-or-treating with our as a family, go out with the son and everything, so we can take our time. We don't have to worry about rushing it because I got to get to the station. So I took Thursday night off. Someone else will be coming in. I'm not exactly sure. Oh, Bo Matthews is going to be doing Thursday. Pretty cool. Just found that out today. So Bo will be doing the show Thursday night, and which will be a lot of fun, which means our special Halloween special. Ooh, on the eve of Halloween, our friend John Lindsay, our ghost hunter, will be coming in. And we're going to talk about paranormal and ghost stuff for 2 hours on Wednesday night. And he's going to give me all kinds of great stories. In fact, some of them are just that, stories. He's going to mix in some fake ones to see if I can tell the difference between the real and the fake ghost stories. Oh, yeah. So I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to have some fun the last couple hours. And maybe I'll get lucky and John will bring some of his family members with him, just like he did last time when we actually did the paranormal investigation. Which would be a lot of fun. He's got a very nice, awesome friends and family that he brought in last time. So that'll be Wednesday night. I don't know if you knew this. Belleville, Illinois, home of the candy corn. Did you know that? So people like candy corn. People hate candy corn. What have people got against candy corn? I think it's great. I've always liked candy corn. It's not like I've ever been to a convenience store and said, I'm going to go in and grab some candy corn. Do you want something? No one says that. It just shows up around Halloween time, and then you eat it. Sometimes it's at the reception up front at a desk, and sometimes you try to find one of those big fat pumpkins because it's candy corn, but just thicker, and it's fun. I like it. I had no idea it had origins locally here in Metro East. So it says, Halloween approaches, more people are craving their fair share of candy corn. So now known as Jelly Belly Candy Company, the second generation of the family that specialized making candy corn. I think they were bought out recently, but they're still making it. I like it. I think my son likes it too. You don't ever really see little packets of candy corn, right? You always see it loose in a bowl somewhere. But that's cool to learn that it's a local thing. Of course, you know, anything that comes from St. Louis, people automatically hate everywhere else and have to make fun of it. It just makes sense now. It's from St. Louis based on the amount of irrational hate the thing gets. Oh, and this story, too, from KMOX.com. There's a couple of different areas and neighborhoods that have already delayed trick-or-treating until Friday, November 1st. Those two areas that I've been able to see so far. So Edwardsville and Glen Carbon have postponed their trick-or-treating. Says the current weather forecast shows an 80% chance of rain and low temperatures. So the Edwardsville Police Department said in a statement that what they're going to do for the safety and the well-being of the citizens, and they're hoping by Friday it warms back up. So looking at AccuWeather, this is what they say. On Thursday, a bit of rain in the morning, cloudy, brisk, and cold, high of 39. It'll be sunny and cool, high of 50 on your Friday. I'm going to guess there's a lot of other communities that are going to be postponing trick-or-treating on Thursday night, too. You're going to have to check ahead of time. A lot of these communities, they have websites that they post this on. So you can go like to the city's website and look for information. Sometimes it's in the news tab. You can check KMOX.com. I'm sure as more that make that decision, if there are more that make that decision, it'll be part of all of the other news websites and posted on there too. But we'll see. Just check before you go. Just check before you go. And you'll know. And the sad thing is some people won't check. They'll go out trick-or-treating. You won't have your light on. And you'll just disappoint a bunch of children, even though it's not your fault. It'll just happen. You know who's been on fire lately? Kanye West. I checked out an interview from another radio program he was on, Big Boy. This is like a morning show in Los Angeles. Big Boy. Pretty well-known guy in the radio industry. He did a sit-down interview about 45 minutes with Kanye West. I grabbed a couple of clips from that. I'm telling you, Kanye has been on absolute fire lately. Wait till you hear some of the things he says. Coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America. Another big show planned tomorrow. In fact, I've been emailing with a very special guest who's going to join me live tomorrow night. Over the phone, at least, because he's down south, I believe in Georgia. Jody Polanch is his name. I'm telling you, this is a crazy story. ESPN actually did a 30 for 30 style mini documentary. I don't know if they're technically 30 for 30s, but they're like the 15-minute documentaries on a certain topic. So Jody, as a child, I believe he was like 7 or 8 years old, was a member of a karate dojo, and he was taking lessons, and his karate instructor kidnapped him, took him out of state. Maybe this was Louisiana, and eventually, they found the karate instructor and the kid in California. So if I'm getting some of the facts of this case wrong, I'm sorry, but you'll get the gist of what makes this story interesting. They find him about a month later. They arrest the karate instructor, and they get the kid back home to his parents. When they send him back arrested, in, you know, he's got the handcuffs and everything, they fly him back to Louisiana. And knowing all of the terrible things that this man did to this person's son, the dad snapped. He was waiting at the airport. He was standing at a line of phone banks with a disguise on. And as the police were transporting this person in the handcuffs and all, walking down the airport, he turned around with a phone receiver in his hand and a gun in the other, and shot and killed this person live on television. This was a pretty high-profile case. So the TV cameras were there, and they were showing, here's the karate instructor that they're bringing back in to face justice for kidnapping and doing some pretty terrible things to this boy, Jody. What happened to his dad after, and what happened to Jody after, is the story that you're going to hear tomorrow when he joins me live. So now, as an adult, Jody has wrote a book about the whole experience. What a story and a half. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you tomorrow. And if you listen after midnight, we're going to talk to our friend Rich Rubino. It's going to be a replay of our first hour. In the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to bring on author Cameron Collins, who wrote the book Scenes of Historic Wonder. So really cool book looking at the historic aspect of St. Louis, Missouri. Gotta love it. All right, Kanye West has made himself available to talk to some people. I would love to sit down and talk to a Kanye West. I'm so fascinated by his transformation as a person, as an individual that was living in a very, you know, profane, sexualized world. He's married to Kim Kardashian, who through fame is known for photographs and very seductive photographs. She's a really big businesswoman, but what I would say she's known for is being an influencer. And she's able to use and leverage her audience for all kinds of different business deals. But the thing that grabs the most attention is when she posts photos of herself, clothed or not clothed. Kanye West is married to her. He's a rapper. He's someone that's put out a lot of different albums. He is someone that's had a lot of issues in his time. He is someone that had addictions to pornography, which he's talked about recently, which is very interesting. But he is someone over the last year who has saw the light. He's converted. He's a Christian now. He's going back and saying that he's seen the errors in his ways and he's changed his life. And he put out his latest album, came out on Friday night. It's called Jesus is King. So if you were to go back and listen to the swear words, the sexualized lyrics, the demeaning lyrics, all of these things, Kanye was always looked at as a genius in his own right as a musical artist. Now he's going through this transformation, and some people reject him because of this transformation. But he's out there to talk to people to say, this is the most liberating thing he's ever done in his life. I could play you a couple of clips from some of his songs so you can get an idea of what his gospel music sounds like. But I want to play a few moments of the interviews when he was sitting down with a radio personality called Big Boy. They were asking him about this transformation.
Let me tell you, it's like, I was driving fast. I was looking at a property. This is like 4,000 acres we were going to buy out here. And I'm trying to drive fast to the freeway. And I hit a red light. And the guy said, now, how you going? Where you got to go so fast that you got to drive this and cut me up? What, Kanye? Oh, thank you for what you're doing for our country. Thank you so much. Like, you have no idea. You be out here in L.A. and New York, and they'll have you all jacked up on Mountain Dew. They'll be having you thinking that, like, this reality is not real. People are connected to the idea of having their own land. People are connected to the idea of service to Christ. This is the Bible Belt. This is America. This is where we are free to worship Jesus in the open. And that's a privilege.
All right, so he's looking at the freedoms that America. Now, you can tell he's got a lot of different ideas going through his mind right now. A lot of different ideas. And the way that he presents them, the way that he brings them up and says them, it's very fascinating. Now, the next clip I'm going to play for you, it's a little bit longer. So if you listen to the way he brings up an idea, it's almost like a super bouncy ball in a concrete room. Like you throw it and it's bouncing off the walls. Boom, 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 boom. It's got a lot of rapid fire ideas. That was my impression when I listened to it. Now, he actually addresses that. And I want, to me, this defines the artist that is Kanye West today. Listen to how he answers this question.
Are you afraid of losing your audience? Yay.
I told you I'm only afraid of God. I'm only afraid of my daddy, God. Mm-hmm. I done been 15 years. I'm telling you, God is showing that you can have your own thoughts, bro. I've been canceled before there was cancel culture. Who told you that my career would be over? The same people that are telling you that you can't have a right to say who you will vote for, those people will be soon to take Jesus out to school. Those people will be soon to remove Jesus, period, from America, which is the Bible Belt. Those people will be soon. Man, come on, man. I ain't finna go Alex Jones level on y'all, man. Come on, man. What y'all want? Like, wake up. Wake up, Mr. West. Wake up, culture. Wake up. Everybody think they so woke, but they following the rules of what woke's supposed to be. Hip-hop ain't never been about following rules. It's been about doing what you feel. I'm going to take the Louis. I'm going to throw it like this. I'm going to do it with the polo. I'm going to do it like this. Even like the way I talk. Hold on. Let me use my African-American voice. Let me use my Disney-approved voice. You know what I'm saying? We're not even speaking in our own language, bro. Like, we talk louder than this. Africans talk loud. Italian moms talk loud. We talk louder, but we speak in our corporate voice. Or we don't want to ruin the deal voice. Or this why, bro, I love y'all, man. And I love me. And I love Christ. And y'all should love to see this. I'm not going to tell y'all what y'all should do. I'm just doing what I do. If you love it, then cool. If y'all want to rap me, it ain't going to make a difference. Honestly, I done been killed so many times on social media, and I'm still here.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Man, he hit about 8 different things there. But the one thing that really stood out to me in the way that he mentioned that was people are acting the way that they said you should act when you're woke because you want to be woke. Woke culture isn't. And, you know, he points all these different things out. He said, you want me to talk in my Disney-approved voice because that's the way you think I should be talking. It's like, I'm just going to be me. And, you know, I don't serve man. How about that? What a message from someone. That's something else. You can tell that he's going through a transformation in his life. You want to hear a couple of examples of what his gospel music sounds like? Here's the one that grabbed a lot of people's attention. Fox News was playing this one called Closed on Sunday. And the reason they play this song, Closed on Sunday, is because he mentions, well, Chick-fil-A. And Chick-fil-A is such a part of our culture anymore because, well, it seems to come up because some people believe that they're somehow hateful in the way that they present their chicken sandwiches because the owner of the company believes in some biblical views. And it's so stupid and ridiculous that they're criticized for that. So I think that's why people are playing this one as the example of his gospel music, so you can kind of get an idea of what it's like. It's completely different in the sense that
close on Sunday.
I don't know if this is what you'd expect for him
Chick-fil-A.
To do.
Close on Sunday. You my Chick-fil-A. Hold the selfies. Put the gram away. Get your family. Y'all hold hands and pray. When you got daughters, always keep them safe. Watch out for vipers. Don't let them indoctrinate. Closed on Sunday. You my Chick-fil-A. You're my number one. With the lemonade, raise our sons. Train them in the faith. Through temptations, make sure they're wide awake. Follow Jesus.
All right, so that's Closed on Sunday. I mean, I listened to that without any expectation of what it would sound like, understanding what his hit songs sound like. Like, I've heard his music, and because it's part of pop culture, it's, like, used in certain ways, so I'm familiar with it. It's not like I don't know his, other than, like, his most popular music, I wouldn't be able to tell you any of his songs. I wouldn't be able to identify it by his voice or anything like that. But I always had an impression, just based on his previous musical stylings, that it would be a lot different than the way it is. And the critics that have listened to this have said this is some of his best work. They put this in one of his top albums, and we're talking about someone that's already well-received, critically speaking. And I think a lot of people are allowing for that. Like, I think they like the idea that someone who is as creative musically as he is, even though they may reject Christ, they could still appreciate the music side, which is an interesting Trojan horse, because it's not Kanye's, it's not his job to go out there and try to convert as many people as he possibly can. I mean, that's God's job. He's introducing, people like it or not, or maybe they don't recognize it, he may be introducing the gospel to a lot of people that otherwise never would have had it. Now it's God's turn to turn that around. Now, don't look at Kanye to be any sort of religious scholar or kind of direct you into your faith by any means. But it, to me, when I look at what is going on, it is encouraging to me to see that there are people that could have genuine conversions, even based on some of their troubles and problems that they had in the past. Now, I hope this is, to me, this doesn't look like a stunt. It looks like someone that is definitely trying to find his way. And that's why I'm fascinated by all of this, because you don't normally see high-profile people. Like, in today's society, anyone that's high-profile is there because they reject this idea. The ones that you respect are the ones that try to keep quiet, as in they don't go out there and openly try to deny or try to live in this Hollywood culture where they defend and then go and even go even further, and then they try to demean other people that may be believers where they try to demean other people that are, you know, have some sort of biblical values, and they try to raise their family in a certain way. You find the ones that are respected anymore are the ones that sit that out, and they try not to say anything. There's a lot of people that are openly against all of this, and those are the ones that use that as a way to opportunist in their career, because the culture of, you know, the movies and television and the music, it's all anti this stuff. He's going in the complete opposite direction of someone that is as popular as him would go. And that, I think, is what feeds him. So you got to be careful. But I'm just blown away by all of this. I just can't believe it's all happening, honestly. It's just so strange to view. And yesterday I spoke to a program director, someone that is here in St. Louis, Missouri. He programs two of the Christian radio stations, and I asked him, are you going to be playing this music? I mean, because I'm sure there's people that would be in the audience that would look at this and be skeptical and probably be angry if you'd be playing this, considering his past. And he said, well, believe it or not, I've spoke to a lot of different people in radio. None of them are too concerned about that. It seems like their audience is okay with it. And he said, yes, we are going to play it here in St. Louis on the One Boost Radio, which is the hip-hop Christian music station. He said, it's a fit, so we're going to start playing. In fact, when I was interviewing him, he was already putting the music in to start playing, so it's probably been playing all day today. So people are embracing it. To me, I'm just utterly fascinated by it all. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America, yes. Live for another about 24 minutes, and then at midnight we do the replay 2 hours, so thank you for joining us. I don't know if there's anyone that actually listens to the show for the entire 4 hours, but I would be impressed. You're one of those people. Thank you, thank you. Love that. Here's the phone number to our radio program. It's 436-7900. You can call or text that line. Or you can also call 800-925-1120. In a story at KMOX.com, supporters, protesters turn out for Planned Parenthood's new facility opening. And we look at some of the pictures online. This week they're taking their time and they're trying to look at the licensing when it comes to this Planned Parenthood, if they're allowed to give abortions or not. In the city of St. Louis, it's one of the last places in the state of Missouri, but there is a facility over in Illinois. There's a few things I brought up, and I might as well bring them up again here on the show, because for the longest time, the argument was we need to continue to give funding to Planned Parenthood. We're talking about tax dollar, federal funding to Planned Parenthood, because they do all of these other great medical things for women. You know, what a total sham that is, because immediately you find out that if you take away the funding for abortion, all the Planned Parenthood shut down. So you're saying the only reason Planned Parenthood exists is for abortion. I mean, that's pretty much proof there for it all, because if that wasn't the case, taking the funding away and stopping the abortion side, the business should still be going on. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, when I was living in Indiana, there was a abortionist by the name of Olaf Klaufer is his name. He's since died. Olaf Klaufer was at odds with the state of Indiana because of some similar situations. We're not the exact same situation, but similar circumstances to what we're seeing, what happened here in St. Louis. Let me tell you how that story ended. So he had an abortion clinic in South Bend, one in Fort Wayne, and I think one in Indianapolis or somewhere like that. He had a few across the state. The state started to catch wind that the facilities themselves were not sanitary. They were finding that there was a lot of issues with the methods that he was using. And they also found out that he wasn't properly filling out the paperwork to report these abortions that he were committing inside the state. So some things that should be very troubling is that he was committing these abortions on very young women and not reporting it to the state. Now, there's a reason why these things are inside of it, because if you're, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old and pregnant, you were raped. There's no question about it. You're a minor, and there's a serious crime associated with that. He was covering these things up by not reporting these things. He also found out that he would not report other aspects to the state, medically speaking. And so the state started to investigate, and they found that there were a lot of different problems with him. So they started to bring a suit up against this abortionist, Olaf Klaffer. Well, you see, the something similar happened here. The state of Missouri has gone in, and they found some things that are questionable at best. And when you have this Planned Parenthood that says, well, we have no obligation to make our employees obligate any part of themselves to give any statements to the state, and we have no obligation because you're not allowed to do any of this stuff. So the state has proof of problems inside these facilities. Planned Parenthood doesn't want to acknowledge any of these problems, let alone address any of them. So the state says, fine, I guess you're going to lose your license. And that's what's part of what's going on. And the Post-Dispatch did a write-up about what both sides are saying on something like this and the way that it's documented. Planned Parenthood believes that they're moving the goalposts and the way that they're selectively deciding to target them for something like this. But I don't understand how you can say selective target when they're the only one in the state. It's not like they're selective, you know, they're picking over other places, but it's not the case because, I mean, they're the only one. But let me tell you how this story ended in Indiana. Olaf Klaffer was eventually found guilty of these. He had to close his practices down. Olaf recently died. He was living, I think, up until August or September of this year, and he died. The family members went into his home to start cleaning out and liquidating or whatever assets he had. They're going to sell the house, the car, all of these things, mostly because that's what you do. They go into his basement, and they find fetus after fetus after fetus. The proper disposal methods were completely ignored, and he was storing the aborted children in the basement of his home. Think Gosnell in Pennsylvania. They open up the trunk of his car. They find more aborted children in the trunk of his car. In the effort to try to hide all of these things from the state, he was stashing these things on his property. These children that he killed. That was the end game for Klaffer in Indiana. The state of Indiana was right to step in and stop him when they realized there were some very serious violations going on and not allow him to continue to do this under the guise that, oh, you're trying to take away a woman's right to choose. And he's going out there and shouting and screaming this stuff, and he's storing these aborted babies in the trunk of his car. This is what the family has to find after the fact, his hidden secret after he's dead. This is why the state of Missouri should not stop investigating, should not stop and just let this one go for Planned Parenthood's sake, because there's protesters out there yelling and screaming because, oh, it looks bad because you're anti-woman if you are against abortion. Well, how about you look at some of these violations, address these things? How about you play ball and show that you're up to code? Planned Parenthood doesn't want to do that. They don't want to play. They don't want to play the victim card all that much. But that's exactly what they're doing. We're the victim of the state. We're the victim of this witch hunt from the state of Missouri. They just want to get rid of all the abortion clinics. When in the end, the state of Missouri is addressing this as the violations that the violations that they are. And I just want you to take warning. What I witnessed for myself in Indiana when I was living there. That monster, Olaf Klaffer. That's what happens when you don't do things properly at abortion clinics. That's the end game. We've seen it. What other things are going on? This is Overnight America, KMOX. Halloween time here in St. Louis, big deal. Candy corn's from this area, so next time you see candy corn, know that there is some local ties to it. Hard to believe, 54 years ago, the Gateway Arch put itself on the map by the completion. Well, it's not like it was open to the public as soon as they closed this thing off. It still took another couple of years before they opened it up. In June of 1967, but it was 1965, they put the final piece of the 630-foot monument at the very top. My dad still remembers it to this day, what it was like to watch that on television as they were putting this in, and everyone wondered, is it going to fit? when we had our guest in the last hour, what a great story when it comes to the Arch. He'll retell that story in the 1 a.m. hour if you listen to the replay. But Cameron Collins was here talking about his book, Scenes of Historic Wonder, St. Louis. And he mentioned that the arch itself on both sides meeting up till the very top. Oh, it lined up all right. But it was about, they said, 2 centimeters off, as in they had to find a way to get this thing in and fit this thing in because it was off just slightly. And they realized part of it has to do with the temperature of the arch. So they had to cool it down to stop it from swelling. I guess you can use the term swelling. There's a reason why you look at railroad and you realize there's little gaps in between the railroads. And you see this a lot, too, in pavement, anytime there's metal involved, because they understand when it's hot, there's some expansion when it comes to the metal or the pavement. And when it cools, it contracts. And even by a little bit, that can cause a lot of issues if you don't account for it. And that's why you see these little cracks here and there to account for these sort of things. Well, in the arch, they realized if we can just cool it down, we can probably get it so it's not expanded as much. They only needed 2 centimeters, and they got that thing back on the top. What a great story as part of his book. It cost $13 million to build, worth every penny to have a national monument right here. And it's what's fascinating is the insurance company was predicting and projecting that about 13 workers would die during construction. 13 workers would die. That's a pretty grim thing, knowing that they're going to start this construction, this monument. It's going to be known all across the world, and it's going to be what St. Louis is most recognized for. I mean, you put an arch anywhere, you know it's St. Louis, and people see that. And just look at all the individual marketing that has arose from the arch itself. You can't do anything with St. Louis without that arch being in the background. I bet every business in St. Louis has the arch somewhere. I mean, if you own a business and it's originating here in St. Louis, I would say more than 50% of all businesses have that arch in their logo somewhere. And probably about 99% of all of those businesses have the arch up on their website. That's just a photo. And some of them may be using them for marketing or for their social media. But yeah, they say 13 workers, they just tried to account for those workers, their death in the course of making the arch. I wonder how often, if you're doing a giant skyrise building anywhere, if they still account for worker deaths, if they have to, because I'm sure their insurance policy would cover it. But I wonder if that is a calculated line that you can look at as part of the construction. You know how many people died building the arch? Big old zero. Goose eggs. That's good. Nope, no one died. Very, very, very good thing. Kevin Kleen did a whole nother story the other day on the Halloween office party. Do you guys dress up when you go to work on Thursday? Some offices are really big into dressing up for Halloween. When you watch television shows that have to do around an office setting, like I guess you could look at The Office, every year they would dress up for it. There was always some sort of Halloween special. In the 90s, the Drew Carey Show every year had different specials, and you know, pretty much all the cartoons do different specials. What's the one that Bob's Burgers do a Halloween special every year? The Simpsons do a Halloween special every year. People really take advantage of it, but they absolutely overestimate the amount of people that participate at Halloween inside of a workplace. I don't like dressing up. I really don't. Kevin Kleen did a whole nother story about the office Halloween costumes.
They had a Halloween costume contest at the office, and quite a few people sprinkled throughout the 5 radio stations here showed up with no costume. Paul Cook of Y98 just wore his regular street clothes.
I think we're looking for distraction at work more than ever because we do that in our lives as well. And there's always somebody, some well-meaning person putting together a happy, fun party. I ask, though, is this work? Or is this friend time?
Well, that'll put you in solid with management.
KEZK's Van Lorenz arrived in his usual civilian clothes.
I don't like to dress up for Halloween or office parties because I still view it as a kid's holiday. You know, now I know the kids have grown up and they've brought Halloween with them. But I like the days when the Halloween decorations were more innocent than they are now.
How are they now?
I was walking Kevin the Greyhound today in my neighborhood, and one yard had 3 body bags on it, bloody body bags with entrails hanging out of them.
So this has gone too macabre.
Too macabre. That's a good word, yeah. Way too macabre.
Y98's Jill Devine dressed up as nothing.
I wouldn't say a thrifty, conscious mother is nothing, Kevin. That's what I am. I have my daughter's bow. She's
That's not going to win the contest.
No.
Where are the fangs and the claws?
But people say...
Some people have butterfly wings out there in the IT department.
Well, I don't have money because, again, I have kids.
KMOX's Carol Daniel was sitting at her desk preparing a newscast as if it were just another day.
I have on a blazer and black pants and boots.
What do you think about everybody dressing up to look like, you know, some clever Halloween character?
I'm in the 50% of adults who don't really even like Halloween, so we haven't had trick-or-treaters in 10 years. I don't like horror shows. I don't like horror movies. I don't like haunted houses.
How about Reese's Peanut Butter Cups?
I love candy.
It seems the best office Halloween costumes come from the quiet ones, the behind-the-scenes people, rather than the on-air. There was a marketing woman a few years back who came as Tippi Hedren from the movie The Birds, with little stuffed birds attacking her. Nothing that exciting ever happened in marketing. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Wow, that kind of scares me. Nothing that exciting ever happened in marketing. That's actually really funny. Way to go, Kevin Killeen. Another great whole other story. So if you're dressing up for your office party, realize that you may be the only one. We did that. We pranked our buddy once when I was living in Michigan. We were going to go out to whatever for a Halloween night. And we told him everyone's dressing up. So he comes running in with a Batman costume on. No one else dressed up. He was the only one in costume. It was one of the funniest moments. He was so embarrassed he left early, went home, changed, and came back. Well, that about does it for us here this hour. We'll be back in the next hour from midnight to 1 and then 1 until 2 as we do the replay hours of Overnight America. After we get past the live hours, we'll be back again tomorrow night starting at 8 o'clock. You can reach me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And don't forget, you can listen to the show whenever you want by going to KMOX.com/ONA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.